Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
As the leader of a nation, David knew that his sin had impacted. It impacted people and his family and his credibility, but it was destroying his inner life. And so he called out to God in the midst of the awareness that the prophet Nathan, speaking the word of God to him, saying, what you did was wrong. He was broken from within. And so he wrote in Psalm 51:1, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgression. You notice the two times according is used. To have mercy on, O God, because of God's very character is wanting to be able to create a future different than a painful past. He's wanting grace to deal with sin so that sin does not curse the future. He's wanting, like Alexander, rising from the baptismal waters, declaring that there is change and transformation within our life. And on this Memorial Day, O Trinity Baptist Church, on this Memorial Day, O the United States of America, we come into the grace of God, grateful, never taking it for granted, and understanding it is only through the Lord that we find a future that is vibrant and alive, that we be people of hope. So in sorrow, King David realized that he had made two fundamental mistakes that some of you in Bible study this morning during Sunday school were studying the chain of success early in David's career, where it seemed like he could do no wrong. It seems like there would be no failure. But in the midst of that, he made two fatal mistakes. He began to take his blessings for granted as though been there, done that. And secondly, he lost the joy by exchanging love for lust, justice for murder, and God's righteousness for self-righteousness. He began to think it was about him and not God at work through him. You and I get in deep trouble when we begin to feel it's about us and not God's grace working through us. But when we get it right, that it is God's hope and promise working through our life, then we understand the glory and the grandeur of God that we may reveal to a hurting and hoping world. This June 6th, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, our bells will chime from here in the heart of America's fastest growing city, along with 12 other churches across America, in recognition of the 13 people who received the Congressional National Medal of Honor on D-Day. For June the 6th in 2019 will be the 75th anniversary of that D-Day, which was the beginning of the end of World War II, the beginning of the defeat of Hitler's evil Third Reich, the beginning of their starting a new day in a history of mid-20th century. And the hope and the promise that as the carillons will chime, the hymn of faith, it will be a remembrance of courageous people from the past to be able to find the promise of God going with us into our future. One of 13 churches commemorating the 13 people who received that Congressional Medal of Honor. We on this day, on this Memorial Day, we remember the promise and the way that God is speaking his life to us so that we may be able to see that how we may get out of lost and found and to find our way with God. Sheol was what David was afraid of. Sheol was kind of a territory difficult to define, but it was like fog in eternity. It was like if he died, he wasn't sure what would happen, and Sheol was where he felt like he would begin to lose God's presence here on earth in lost and found. Have you ever been in lost and found and your parents didn't come looking for you? Have you ever lost your child to a lost and found and you decided, I think I'll wait another hour before I go pick them up? God's grace is always on the money with time to be able to choose in that moment to be able to reclaim us and to be able to say, I believe in my grace can have a power to transform you into this new beginning. That's why I believe God is an optimist. God deals with our sin as it is and deals with us as we are, but doesn't leave us as we are in order to make us who he can make us with. And yet he knows what's in your heart and my heart and the heart of our world, but he does not give up hope. That's why Christ from the cross dealt with sin in a way that Christ overcame death with the resurrection. God is this God of promise, but we must avoid David's two mistakes: to ever take it for granted. Been there, done that, know that. But to lean into the power, because we've been there and he has done that, we may know its power within our life, and that we never fall prey. We never give into that self-temptation to exchange your own self-righteousness for God's righteousness, thinking that it begins with us instead of understanding it begins with him. And so God wants to set us free, that as soon we will be moving into the communion experience on a Memorial Day, that we choose this Sunday to again to celebrate the message of Jesus Christ when he said, "This is my body which is given for you. This is my blood which is given for you." That this is this living presence of Christ by a relationship of trusting in him as Savior, that as we step into the communion today, it will be the sense that we know that we have been forgiven, that we feel the forgiveness, and we are to act on the forgiveness. It begins with being forgiven. As we come nearer and nearer into God's goodness, as we lean into his holiness, as we've been singing this morning, we've been praying this morning, we've been stepping into the scriptures this morning, we've been sensing to still and center ourselves in light of God. Part of that awareness coming near to God is that we know that we are coming into the holiness and the power of the Creator of the universe. And the warning of God's love gives us a warning to our own desires to hurt him and to hurt people and to cheapen ourselves because of sin. But we have to come to him, just like Alexandra, to be forgiven. Just like Les Holland has understood my need to be forgiven in Christ. And I pray and I trust that you have come and come to the place of understanding that to be forgiven is where the change begins. It's where God's mercy cleanses us from the inside out. We don't clean ourselves up and then come to God, but we have come to God in order to be cleansed by him. Like Alexandra, in the midst of a worship service, she came to Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, I confess my sin," dealt with it. We prayed the prayer of her believer's prayer, and then we met in my office to prepare for her baptism, letting her understand that wherever her feet travel, she travels in as a follower of Christ. Whatever her hands do, she's doing as a believer in Christ. How her mind thinks is under the transformation of the ways of Christ within her life, to be forgiven deep within. And so David prayed, "Lord, create in me a clean heart, a new heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, for I fear that you will take your Holy Spirit from me." David was experiencing the anguish of sin. And there are times that you needed to go to your husband, your wife, your son, or your daughter, to your pastor or to your friend, to a coworker, to go to a person, and to say, more than just bad on me, but I have wronged you and I am sorry. And when that happens, then we are to say to our wife, to our husband, to our son or our daughter, to our dad or to our mother, to our friend, to our coworker, to a life of the church, we are then to say, "As Christ has forgiven you, so I also forgive you." We live in a tempting age of American society to return to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We are leaning into a destruction of understanding grace and accountability. And accountability is absolutely essential for new beginnings. But with accountability and the sense of living a changed life, instead of giving an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, where all of us will be toothless, and all of us will be blind, and all of us will be incapacitated if that's how we're going to treat each other. But if we come with the grace of Christ, then we have given a hope of the power of Jesus from the cross into our world, from the sense, the symbol of the bread and the cup, to say there is a new way to do this. If your spouse committed adultery against you and against him or herself. It's foolishness to go out and commit adultery as a way of trying to get back to the pain that you've experienced. That's an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. If someone lied about you, it's foolishness to try to stir up gossip and lie about someone else as though that will undo the pain that has been done to you. But instead to confront, instead to hold accountable, and then to say, live it differently, and you need to restore what damage that you've done to reputations, but live it differently, and let's do it together. That's the power. Now, part of what concerns me about David, and that's my first name, is that when David said, I have sinned against you and you alone, O Father, many commentators, many Hebrew experts say, when you sin against God, it was the awareness that you sinned against people. But in my studies of David, which I've written, and you can pick up from my literature rack of my sermons, there's never one account that David apologized to his family. It doesn't mean he didn't. There's just no written account for it. What we do know as the curse of David's sin began to continue to play itself out in family civil disobedience, family civil war, as well as for a nation. David surely had to come to the awareness it was against God whom he had sinned, but the impact of that sin was also among people. And being forgiven is understanding that we come deep into the relationships of all we have harmed, and then we ask for the mercy, and then we give the mercy of Christ. If you have not forgiven someone in your life who has asked for forgiveness, my prayer as your pastor is that you will let God deal with your heart today. And you will let your heart be shaped by the mercy of Jesus to then let that person know that you have forgiven them. As a matter of fact, Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 11, we cannot take the cup and the bread unless we first have made ourselves, our hearts right with people. That's the reason why this is not a hocus-pocus magical deal. This is a transforming expression of being in community with God, in community with each other. Two, as being forgiven is then to feel forgiven. That the sense of the grace of God has set us free. The only purpose for guilt, and it is a powerful purpose, is to convict me of sin and to convict you of sin. That's when we are self-aware that we have harmed. Shame is when other people know about it. You put guilt and shame together, and that sole purpose for that is to drive us into the awareness that we need to change our life. But once we've experienced that, then God is very clear that shame and guilt are to skedaddle. You caught that biblical word, right? You check your Hebrew and Greek, and you'll find the word skedaddle, that good Texas term. Meaning you get out of here, like east is to the west, like north is to the south. You don't belong in one's life once the guilt and the shame have accomplished the purpose of conviction of sin. Because the grace of Christ truly then sets us free. Then we are emotionally free. We begin to feel that freedom. Instead of being weighed down by the burden, we may stand tall within His grace and then extend that grace into the lives of others. Steve Chase was a son-in-law, and then 5 years ago, I officiated the funeral service for his mother-in-law. As we met each other for that funeral time, he shared with me a story and later gave me the documents that proved his story. That his great-grandfather, fighting in the Civil War, had fought in Chancellorsville. It was such bravery that he received then the Congressional Medal of Honor. 3 months later, he was at Gettysburg. And at Gettysburg, he was wounded, fought mortally wounded, and his body was lifted among the dead and left there overnight. And there was a person from the Confederate Army wearing gray, and he was wearing blue. This gray and blue, this Union and this Confederate person were both in the body thought to be dead, but neither one were actually dead. And they held each other's hand all night long. And Steve said his grandfather had an experience, a near-death experience, calling it Heavenly Edge. And the place of that heavenly edge as though he was into this presence of God. The day before the battle there in Gettysburg, on that very place where his presumed dead body was laying, he had knelt and accepted Christ as his Savior. And the next morning, as they were picking off the bodies. They discovered that he was alive and the Confederate soldier was alive. And then he realized that that was the moment in which he would live forever different, feeling the forgiveness of God and the restoration of a joy within his life. So it was that King David wrote, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and grant within me a willing spirit to sustain me." As a little boy, the youngest of four kids in my family, you know, we would horse around with each other and wrestle around. And as the youngest one, I wasn't always as smart of how to get away with things as my older brothers and sister. And so we were throwing pillows in the family room, which is never a good thing to do. And we're throwing pillows, and my brother ducked, and my pillow went and just destroyed a beautiful set of statues of quail that my mother really liked. I mean, she really liked them. And they were obliterated. And of course, my brothers and my sister just skedaddled. And there I was, gathering up all the pieces I could, putting them in an envelope, going to my little piggy bank, pulling out all the money I could, put them into the same envelope, slipped an envelope underneath Dad and Mother's door with a note saying, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." And they never said a word about it. I didn't have to kind of droop my head around them. I didn't have to kind of mope around. I knew that they had forgiven me. Now, the power of what we do for each other is once we've experienced our guilt and responsibility, once we've expressed it, the Lord wants us to be people that's contagious and filled with joy. Nothing is more persuasive about the power of God's love than to be a joyful people. And then thirdly, we begin to act forgiven. We don't act in the same way that caused the sin. We don't act in the same way that harms the relationship. We act differently, but we act in that forgiveness of God. A changed life is a living evidence of God's redeeming grace. Nothing is more powerful than conveying the credible witness of God's power in our world than through a changed life. And that's for you, and that's with me. Jenna Graham is a member of our church, and her mother, Sally Goldsberry, died several years ago. I remember the story about Sally. Sally grew up in the Midwest, and her dad was a country doctor. It was right after World War II, and she was 10 years old. Her dad, the country doctor, was making the rounds, and she went with him. And the soldiers were returning home from war. She went into one home where Ellsworth was one of the two sons that had gone off to war, but he did not come back from war. He died in battle. They were having the family meal together, the family with the country doctor and his daughter. And they were laughing and celebrating, and the family had already talked through the grief of Ellsworth, and they felt it in their life, but they weren't talking about it in the meal. And Sally, 10 years old, thought, "Something's wrong." And she said, "Your son's not here. Why don't we talk about it?" And then her dad, the country doctor, tried to pull things together, wrap up the meal, didn't eat dessert, got back in the car and said to his 10-year-old daughter, "Sally, Sally, they know that their son Ellsworth isn't there. You didn't have to remind them. So don't put your foot in your mouth again." A few days later, she's with her dad, out the country doctor making his rounds. Once again, she was reminded what to say and what not to say as she went in. But the country doctor father knew that the power of modeling is key. So she went there, and they were into a Mennonite home, early Baptist home. And the Mennonites didn't believe that we should fight in war. And so as pacifists, that was part of how they had grown up and what they had taught. And so they were sitting down the meal, and everybody had their plate full of food. But Martin wasn't at the meal. He had just come back from the war. He was off in the living room. And she looked, as a 10-year-old girl, she looked at Martin and said, "Martin, come sit next to me. I've got an open chair." And Martin's dad said, "No, he's not allowed to, because we were against fighting in the war." And Sally, with that 10-year-old wisdom about her, said, "Well, I know the Jones family lost their son. They sure be glad to have Martin at their table." Time went by, as time will do. Sally saw Martin out and about. And Martin thanked her for speaking up for him, because she said after he left that day, he was back at the family table eating the family meals together. And Martin's father was asked years later, said, do you remember the country doctor's son? I said, no, but I remember that he had a daughter. The sense of the story about restoring relationships, the sense of acting with forgiveness, the acting of healing and bringing together, the acting of being made whole is what our world aches and hungers for. And so David said in the psalm, with a transformed life in verse 13, Lord, with your forgiveness and your grace, with my, again, having joy of knowing of your love, that you have the power to, in your accountability because of who you are, then I can be a witness for you into the world. I can teach the transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Have you ever studied the life of David and wondered what made this person to be called as though he was somebody after God's own heart with all the bad things he did? And the key is exactly in the phrase that he would turn his heart back to God. He would repent, he would confess, he would feel the grace of God coming back to him. That's the power of the good news of God's love. That's the power of Jesus Christ. So as we move forward, it's moving forward with the awareness that God's grace will not let go according to his mercies, according to his faithfulness. Our deacons will come forward now and we will continue to prepare our hearts to receive this grace meal, this meal of joy, the meal that is called a communion. I lift the covers that each have across as though the resurrection has occurred. The story is revealed about the love of Christ who gave himself in order for us to receive this joy of salvation. Jesus, in his last days on earth, took his disciples into an upper room, the apostles and also women disciples, and they were there, and he took the bread of the meal, and he broke it, and he blessed it, and he gave it to them, and said, take this in remembrance of me, as you have the tray of bread passed to you. It's a joyful gift of the Lord to you. As you wait and hold that bread until we take and eat of the bread together in the unity of a people caught up in the grace of Christ, be thinking about the power of his forgiveness within your life. Thank you. the living memory of Christ Jesus, take and eat. The cup of salvation, the sign of the blood of Christ, the source of a life-giving love, the power of transformation. So as soon you will hold the cup within your hand, and every follower of Christ, whether here for the first time or a long-term member of the congregation, is welcome to take of the cup as you identify with the meaning of Christ. He has given it for you. In remembrance of me, Christ Jesus said, take and drink. Lord, we have received a sign of your living gift, your presence. We've seen the stirring of the baptismal water as we receive the sign of communion. And now may our lives be fully updated in our relationship with you as we move to this invitation. Amen. As we now prepare to stand and to sing, yet it's a response of our life as we begin the summer of 2019, as we allow the Spirit who's moved in our midst and shaped a message of our just being able to come with God as we are and let him heal us and make us whole. To be able to say, Lord, forgive me, and then to be set free, to live a vibrant and bold life, to accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord, to join into the life of the Trinity family of Trinity Baptist Church as a member. That means to come as a brother or sister and let us serve together and be together and share life together, or to come and to pray, that I'll be standing here and Vicky will be standing, and that you may just want someone to come and pray with you. And the celebration of God, let this time be historic in your mind and body and spirit through Jesus Christ. Let's stand together.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.